This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoot, yeah, it's Hour 4, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We'll talk with Dave Raymond, voice of the Rangers, coming up here at 5:20. Get his thoughts on the upcoming season. LA Live is going to be another GD Live tonight. I'm going to take these broadcast reins coming up at 5:40. What's your confidence meter? Out of 10, I don't know, maybe a 6.
Okay.
That's better than yesterday, though. You were floating around 4.5.
Yeah. At best. I think that's where I peaked.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll do better coming up at 5:40. But right now, it's time for an edition of Football's Finest. Here's the Chief.
Okay, we're going to get to the Texas Pro Day takeaways coming up here in just a moment. But some NFL housekeeping for the people.
Housekeeping!
You think Dave Raymond's already hitting the booze after working with Bassick for today? Or did he have to know he has 200 games? He's got to work with him, whatever.
He worked with him last year. He probably pre-gamed it, actually.
You think so? You think he tailgated it up? Kind of like we would if we were doing the broadcast?
I'd probably do a little flask. Yeah. You know, I don't want to show up.
Like Bob Uecker kind
of
deal?
You know, there's a lot of people on the way in that I'm going to have to talk to. So I definitely don't want to get a buzz going until maybe third or fourth inning. And then I just hang out in there until everybody goes home and I'm gone.
That's the similar advice you have for the Woolly Bully on Drunken G-Bag Fridays.
It's a pattern.
Right? Like just kind of treat this like a marathon and close the game.
We said we were going to have an intervention
with him,
right?
Close the show on the peak high.
I think there is a peak about 2 hours after you start drinking where you're having the most fun and you make the most sense, but you're a little wild ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's where I would want the show to end if it was me.
Yeah. Yeah. Go out on top.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a 2-hour show.
Yes,
that does sound wonderful.
Kind of a sweet spot. You know,
now do you feel like you got drunk and then kind of sobered up during the show?
Yeah, it was like the hangover afterwards. I felt the tequila just zapped my spirit.
Did it?
Yeah. If I had kept drinking, I might have had a better shot, but it was kind of just out of the system. And then at that point, it's when the headache set in and a little bit of nausea.
Like you didn't touch your brisket at all.
I ate a piece of brisket, and it was tough to eat.
Because you
the whole
just,
time he was just kind of rubbing and patting his tummy.
Yeah, I was feeling like I tried to go to the bathroom and get the deed done, and it just wasn't going to happen.
The puke deed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
I'm glad that you didn't.
What a coward.
Don't vomit all over cold beers and cheeseburgers.
I was good to go.
Mark Cuban once famously said, though, that he wouldn't watch day baseball games because he didn't want to drink six beers in the middle of the day, then go back to work.
Yeah.
You know, working after drinking.
No way.
Awful. You know, Absolutely not. Working while drinking. Hey, yeah. Working after drinking.
No, so, that would be terrible.
I didn't have poor driving. Did I help you or not?
No, you were good.
Okay.
You're fine.
I just want to make sure I didn't.
We were
like,
good. I thought we executed that brilliantly.
No, I just was worried about me driving poorly and then you getting sick in the car.
No, it wasn't one of those car sickness things.
I gotcha. All right, cool.
All good on that part.
Good.
Okay, we got the knock on the door, the housekeeping knock earlier. Yep. I feel like we were rude. We didn't open the door.
Housekeeping.
We're going to go ahead and open that door.
Yep, what do we got?
The NFL's competition committee is expected to propose a tweak to the kickoff, moving touchbacks from the 30-yard line to the 35 to increase return rates. Now, we had mentioned this maybe last week when there were some potential rule changes floated out. This seems like one that's going to stick, and they're really going to propose it. And I imagine this thing gets cleared, and now your touchback is going to be at the 35. So
okay.
Now, right. as a defensive coordinator, as a defender, you're probably like, really? 5 yards closer to the end zone? 35-yard line? That's a tough pill to swallow.
As a special teams coordinator, are you kicking it to the return man yet? Are you kicking it to Turpin?
I hope so. I hope these rules just help benefit more returns.
Yeah, I guess you would
have
to go
field goal range.
Let's make it
touchback.
Hell yeah, touchback.
How many touchback dudes are averaging getting past the 30 or close to the 35 on a kickoff return? That would be where you would probably want to start on that, because I'm sure most kickoff returners are not getting to the 35.
No.
And giving the ball at the 35. I'm honestly fine with it, but at the same time, if I was a defender, I wouldn't be.
There's going to be more collisions here. Get ready.
More collisions?
Yeah, more collisions.
With the returns?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they're inviting because they want the returns to
take
place.
They went from, like, we don't want guys to running into each other for the last couple of years to we're okay now with guys running into each other.
Trying to find the happy medium.
Yeah. I think in this format now with the guys moved up and all that, there's more of an opportunity for big plays and less super high-speed collisions. At least we're not running 60 yards and then colliding.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to find a sweet spot here. It'd be great if there was actually the possibility that maybe you get a half dozen kick return touchdowns in a season or more. Why not? Let's keep engineering.
It'd definitely be good for SportsCenter top 10 plays.
Oh, dude.
You know,
nothing more exciting.
Get more kickoff returns in there. I think that's kind of a missing ingredient these days. The Bengals are fully prepared to negotiate a new deal with Trey Hendrickson, and a trade is off the table for Hendrickson. That's from Jordan Schultz, friend of the program, just about an hour ago, reporting on that. And then you had Von Miller kicking the tires on a potential rejoining of the Broncos. He's still out there. I'm assuming he's going to be one of these post-draft pickups, and we'll see where he ends up, but maybe a return to Denver is going to take place. You have Tom Curran, who covers the Patriots.
Patriots, Boston.
Had significant interest. Patriots had significant interest in trading for DK Metcalf, but he had no desire to go to New England.
Yep.
How do you have desire to go to Pittsburgh with that quarterback situation? You're not in the warm weather environment like we thought he wanted to be in. You're in Pittsburgh. You're playing in the AFC North. Physicality, cold, and defenses are pretty dang impressive outside of the Bengals. But you want to go there without a quarterback as opposed to going to the up-and-coming Drake May in New England? What's the difference?
Yeah.
I think that from my research, the only difference that I can come up with, unless he just loves those French fries on cheeseburgers like they do in Pittsburgh, I think the taxes are pretty terrible.
Heavy.
When it comes to that particular neck of the woods.
Sure.
Yeah, Foxborough and whatnot. So
Massachusetts.
I mean, that's the only thing. And the Patriots had enough money to probably be willing. They were willing to give Chris Godwin a fat bag, like $5 million more a year than what he ended up getting with the Bucks. I'm sure the Patriots would have overpaid. I just think that's an egregious decision right there to say, I'm down to go to Pittsburgh, not down to go with Drake May and Mike Vrabel.
These receivers talk to each other. Remember Brandon Ayuk when he was that possibility of getting traded and it was going to go to New England? And he just decided, no, I'll sign. Whatever you want me to do, I'll sign. Remember that? I think these receivers all talk to each other about stuff like this. But I also feel like that maybe people don't want to play for Mike Vrabel, you know, and playing for our guy at Pittsburgh, maybe a better thing than playing for Mike Vrabel.
Well, I guess That's fair, and you can't really argue that if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Vrabel might not help a wide receiver's career. Maybe our guy Pittsburgh might not help a wide receiver's career either. But
I do think people want to play for Mike Tomlin. Cam Hayward's taking all the credit for it. Said he heard that DK was going to the Chargers. Texted a friend of his, said, yeah, he's also hearing that DK is going to go trade to the Chargers. And then he ended up talking to DK and helped persuade him to Pittsburgh. Personally, I think Pittsburgh gave the best offer. I don't think DK had a damn choice.
Well, and if that's the case, then sure, I get it. But, man, you want to go – I get you want to link up with Tomlin. He's a great coach. Players love him. But he hasn't had any ability to get a quarterback in the building. You are a wide receiver. So – good luck to him. You mentioned Brandon Ayuk. Diana Russini says that on the possibility of the Niners trading Ayuk before the April 1st payday, he's got a guaranteed money coming in. She says, I don't get the sense that's a reality. She says, I'm sure the Niners would like to trade Brandon because of the finances. We'll see what happens with this. I don't expect anything. So there's a little football housekeeping for you. Now, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Wolchuk, but Chris Sims and his wide receiver rankings, I don't know if you saw this. He had Wazoo's Kyle Williams as his second overall receiver in this draft.
Go Cougs.
It was Travis Hunter, Kyle Williams, then Tet McMillan, then Jalen Noel, which is another interesting one from Iowa State, and then Trey Harris from Ole Miss. So overall, I would say his top five is nowhere close to consensus when it comes to the wide receiver rankings. But in particular, Kyle Williams. This is not even a guy that I am familiar with at all. He's been put on the map thanks to Chris Sims for me.
Kyle Williams?
Yes.
Have you not seen a guy that I've watched.
Have you seen him? You haven't seen him play?
Not yet, no.
Yeah, we talked about him yesterday.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
This dude's coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think I saw some Twitter hype about him this week as well, and so I put him down as a guy that I need to go back and check out.
I mean, 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns last year.
The clips I saw looked good. The Washington State wide receiver, that's who we're referring to. And I saw some reps of him at the Senior Bowl, and he looked really, really good 1v1.
This is a twitchy guy, and he's got with ball in hand, he's a dangerous skill set to him. And the screen passes, the underneath stuff. Big chunk plays with this guy. He's got some elusiveness to him. He's got kind of that punt, kickoff, return mentality about him with the ball in his hands. Like he can weave through traffic and he makes himself available. He's a deep ball catcher. I mean, there's a lot to like. I told you that he broke Dez Bryant's Holiday Bowl record with 10 receptions for 172 yards against Syracuse. So, yeah, I mean, he's got some things. When you watch him run, he'll run at the same speed no matter what the route is. Like he doesn't stop or, you know. So I can see why Sims like him. I personally don't have him in the second round or have him as the second best
receiver in the class.
Receiver, but hey, there's a lot of good traits about the kid at 5'11", 190.
I like that. I mean, that's it's different. I'm all for, I'll go watch Kyle Williams tonight.
Second in the class in terms of yards per route run versus man coverage.
Yeah.
Third in the class in terms of yards after catch per reception.
Yep.
So interesting dude, somebody to consider. I wonder how high he will end up going. Now, you had the Texas Pro Day today. I loved this. Jahdae Barron said he didn't want to wear the official Pro Day gear that is given to each player. He says, I didn't want to wear the Pro Day gear because it was gray and it was black. I wanted to wear burnt orange for one last time. So he went out there and repped it, dude. That's just...
Oh, you got to love that.
That's just a guy. Somebody's going to get an absolute dog. And they're gonna love it, and it's probably gonna be, these mocks that I see it might be before the Cowboys even pick at 12, which would be something. But some team is going to be very happy with that selection.
A dog with alligator arms, right?
Yeah, he's got the short arms,
small T-Rex arms.
Yeah, but
alligator arms is a receiver trade, I guess you call him.
I was talking to Brad. Brad thinks he's got a little Darren Woodson in his game.
Ooh! Oh, is this when you were in the midst of the sandwich?
Yeah.
Between like, Brad and Babe?
I think, but it's like, Brad, I see the versatility you're talking to. I love the kid as well.
When you watch this kid tackle, he tends to go low. So he kind of, he'll cut tackle. I don't think Darren Woodson will ever.
He's not nearly as big.
Yeah.
That's for
5'11", 194 is what this kid's height and weight is.
Mm-hmm.
But he tends to go a little low with his tackling stuff like that. See, people talked about him that he might be Brian Branch from Detroit.
I don't see that.
And I think he's Trent McDuffie is who I think he is.
Yeah, size wise, that's definitely a better comp.
That's a home run selection.
Yeah,
let's just be honest.
Yep.
Quinn Ewers. So you had Calvin Watkins, our buddy, out there covering this thing, and he said Quinn Ewers had 5 incompletions out of 59 throws, 4 drops, 1 errant throw. Ewers' first snap under center was a fumbled snap. He made good, strong throws over the middle. Deep balls fluttered a little bit, but overall strong performance. That's the Quinn Ewers report from the pro day.
I would think if he's unpressured, like he can be fairly accurate. I think a lot of it for me is pocket management and awareness. You know, I think he's got a lot of traits that could be successful in the NFL. Seems like a good leader. But wow, it just seems so wheels off, and like the poise and composure there. And the times I got to watch him this year just left so much to be desired. I couldn't imagine him taking a bigger step up to the NFL and having a lot of success.
Just get some happy feet when the pocket breaks down on him.
That'll get you.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's terrifying. It's got to be terrifying. Yeah. You know, so there's no surprise that it's the absolute elite. I mean, you're talking about what, just a couple of guys in the entire world that can pull off what we're talking about here.
One final thing, Andrew Luck has fired Stanford head coach Troy Taylor after reports of bullying investigations and back-to-back 3-9 seasons. So this is late in the game, but Andrew Luck became Stanford's GM of football operations back in the fall. He says, I no longer believe that Coach Taylor is the right coach to lead our football program. So they may have like a coach, just like an interim coach for the season. Because one of his quotes is, a search for new coaching leadership in football has begun, and an acting coach may be named for the 2025 season. Hmm. Just an acting coach. You're not the real guy. You're just interim.
Yep. So he's getting there bullying everybody? He's bullying his assistants? Bullying the players?
Hey, man, you go 3-9 back-to-back.
People could get bullied.
Start pointing the finger.
Yeah, some passionate debates are going to be happening. People could take that as a bullying. All right, thank you, Chia Follow. Football's finest every day, 5 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. We'll hit the expressway. Chat with Dave Raymond, TV voice of your Rangers, is next on the Fan. Welcome back, buddies. Dave Raymond said to join us here on your home of the Rangers, 105 through the Fan. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And good afternoon / good evening, Dave. How the heck are you?
I'm great. How you fellas doing?
We're wonderful.
Hey, Dave, they're shaking up your football program out there, man. Andrew Luck ain't taking any prisoners, huh?
No, it's good, man. I don't know the particulars of what happened out there with Troy Taylor. What I do know is he basically stunk. So, I mean, I guess there were some off-field issues there around the athletic department. But, I mean, 3-9 doesn't cut it anyway. So, let's go. I when they put Andrew in charge of the program, I was excited. Good. Then this is a new way somebody can step in and do something, make a change there.
There you go.
You know, I heard like reports that maybe there was bullying involved, and it seemed like a good opportunity to warn you about Mike Bassick's bullying, since you're going to have to work with him all season. Just protect your lunch. Be ready to scrap.
I need some of that tequila that the Wooly Bully is plugging down.
I got you, Dave.
I love it. Dave Raymond here, certified Tolo for that line. Dave, it's exciting to see Leiter and Rocker here, the Vandy boys, both in the rotation to start the season. You know, have the Rangers become an organization that's actually good at developing pitchers now?
I got to tell you, it's really exciting, right? Because those two are top-notch prospects, and they would be in any organization. But listen, there's no guarantee that you get guys out on the field and contributing, but they both look really good. And some of what we've seen lately from Rocker is super exciting. He loves that curveball, and it was working again today for him. 8 strikeouts in 4 innings. But I think it's a really good indication, because on top of it, and I know you guys no doubt have been talking about it this spring because Jared won't let it go, but like Teodo was really good. He still thinks that Teodo's going to lead the team in saves this year. That, I don't agree with him on that, but you know, that's a high-end kid who's going to be a big-time contributor at some point, probably in the not-too-distant future for this team. Winston Santos, another kid. So there's some names beyond like the Vandy boys who are, you know, are big recognizable names. So yeah, I think we're seeing, I hope we're seeing, right, a trend going in the right direction that way. So maybe these are the first indications that they've got some stuff figured out on the pitching side. It seems like that would make sense, coinciding with Chris Young taking over as the general manager, the president of baseball operations a couple of years ago. Yeah, it takes a little bit of time for results to come once you start tilling the ground, but it looks like we might be starting to bear some of the fruit here.
Dave, we've talked a lot about Evan Carter, but I want to look at the other side of this with Leody Taveras. And I think a lot of Ranger fans were kind of writing off Leody and have been frustrated with the inconsistency, but he was certainly pretty darn consistent this spring. Do you think that Leody Taveras is about to shut a lot of people up this year?
I hope so. You know, we were talking about it a little bit today on the telecast, but he's 26 years old. So it's possible that he has a breakthrough year this year, right? I mean, that's not unthinkable. That's when athletes sort of reach their peak and their prime. And so it's also his sixth year in the big leagues. So, you know, you could argue, hey, you know, we've seen him for 5 years. I think we know what we've got. Or you could say the guy's got 5 years under his belt, which is incredible. What great experience. And he's just now hitting his prime, and maybe it all clicks in one moment for him. And that's based on what we saw this spring. I don't think that's a fantasy. He hit the ball well. He hit for power. He was even a little bit better from the right side. I don't know that they have a ton of faith in that, but the trend certainly has been going the opposite direction over the years. When he came up, he was actually better from the right side than he was from the left, and that is completely flopped over the 5 years. But point is, he's still young. He's obviously skilled, and he has this experience under his belt. I think it's really possible that it all clicks for him. So, and I found this a little bit amazing. I was looking back to see the history of center field for the Rangers, and Leody has started, I think it's like 431 games in center field, right in that neighborhood anyway. That's 33 fewer games than the most all time by a Ranger. Like he's about to become the most prolific center fielder in Rangers history. Again, only 26 years old. So yeah, I think good sign, Zach, and I'm certainly hopeful. I loved what I saw this spring.
Dave, you know, with Boach and you know, we get the World Series 2 years ago, last year some struggles. Where do you think he is right now? Not so much about what he feels about the team, but how is he, you think, physically and ready for the grind again?
Yeah, he's been great. I think he's 70 years old now, right?
Sure.
But he plays a little younger. The passion and that intensity for the game, it's just the sharpness. When you talk to him about baseball stuff, he's just so sharp, so on top of it, not just with his own club or in-game stuff. Man, he's on top of what every team's doing. Mm-hmm. It's just a part of his DNA. And I think, sure, would it be a nice time at this point in his life maybe to lean back a little bit and enjoy, you know, the spoils of a great career? Yeah, perhaps. But I think a lot of guys, they don't know what else to do with themselves.
Right.
And baseball affords you an off season of roughly 5 months. And there's a point, I think, in everybody's off season where they wonder, like, could I really do this full time? I mean, I haven't done anything for 3 months and I feel a little bit unsettled. So, you know, you get a taste of it every year and you sort of test out that concept. I don't think he's ready for that yet. So I think there's a chance that we could see more years of Bochy at the helm here. I certainly hope we do.
Dave, who's your pick to lead the team in dongs this year?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, I think if you're going to just go chalk on this, like you should in the NCAA tournament, you know, you go Corey Seager. But I'll go off the grid just a little bit. I don't think it's that big a stretch, but I certainly think Wyatt Langford could have that kind of a year where he breaks through for a big number. So I'll take Wyatt just for the fun of it.
That would be a lot of fun. But what about the Berger stuff? I thought Berger was going to be mashing.
Berger is going to hit a lot of home runs, and early returns based on what we saw in spring training are that he fits well in this lineup. And really, I think that's the thing, right? The whole rising tide for these guys. It's going to help Seager. It's going to help Young and Jock Peterson and Berger and all these guys. Adolis Garcia, heck, Adolis could be the guy. The thing about it is all these guys are going to be in some ways protected by each other in this lineup.
Right.
They're going to see more opportunities. They're going to put so much pressure on opposing pitching that, I mean, you literally, I don't think you could criticize somebody for taking any one of those guys I just mentioned. If you said Josh Young, I think you could make a pretty good argument that Josh Young would lead this team. I think Jake Berger, you could make a great argument. You could even go with Peterson. The only thing Peterson has working against him is that he's probably going to platoon a little bit. But, you know, he still has a shot because he's got just crazy power. And in this lineup, he could do some damage. So I think there's so many guys you could consider in that conversation. But you know that Young's going to play every day. You know Lankford's going to play every day and Seager. You know, there's a chance that they take Berger out every now and then, give him a break. There's a chance that Peterson's in a platoon. So it could hurt them a little bit. But I think those other three, they're all really, really strong arguments to lead this team.
Okay, what is the total here? Because I've got the dong tally in front of me here, Dave, and I just need the number of dongs. You're the second person to take Wyatt Lankford on here.
Yeah, I know your fascination with dongs, Zach, is both intriguing and troubling. But the fact that you're the guy running around counting dongs is, listen, it singles you out. Okay, I'll say 42 dongs.
Ooh, 42. Okay, the other person who took Wyatt's at 44. So this is great. You guys are simpatico. You and Will Chambers.
I love this. Dave, you're on fire right now. Have you put together, like, what are you calling Jake Berger's homers?
Yeah, I don't know yet. His doubles make it a lot easier because those fall right in line, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with the I still don't. I'm not sure I fully understand what a smash burger is.
Yeah.
That seems to have potential somewhere in there. There's got to be a play there. I don't know. I mean,
burger bomb.
Just got to let it.
Yeah, burger bomb.
Burger bomb's easy. You know, good alliteration.
And the fact is, Bassick's probably going to step all over it anyway. So
yeah, have you had to talk to him about that? Like, hey, let it breathe a little bit. Can you just wait before you jump in here?
No, man. Here's the thing. You guys know with Bassick, you unchain Bassick and you just let him roam.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just react to that because it is a show. You don't know where it's going. It's like a hallucinogen, really. You just gotta surrender yourself to Bassick madness and just try to enjoy it, man. He's a riot.
He is. Wiser words have never been spoken on Bassick, I believe, here as we're chatting with Dave Raymond. How's this going to go for DeGrom? You know, taking something off the velocity. Can he still be the best pitcher in the game like that?
Yeah, that to me is one of the more interesting things to follow this year because today he was down even a tick from what we'd seen this spring. And I've heard people say that the guns are a little hotter down in Arizona, but he was down a tick. He still got it done. He had trouble with really two hitters in their lineup today. But there's a difference. There's a difference between living at 97-98 and living at 95-96. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but all the data says that blood goes down appreciably with increased velocity. And so, I think it's something that they'll want to watch. At the same time, you know, people would argue, you could argue, geez, you know, maybe his command would even be a little bit better if he took just a little bit off. The fact is, when he was throwing 100 plus with that wipeout slider, he still had the best command in baseball. He spots everything with near perfection. So I don't know that I need him to have better command. And I love the velocity. That said, I'm not worried about him. He's got the chops at this point. If taking him down a couple of miles per hour on the fastball gives me more innings, more durability, then I'll take it. I'll take you know, a percentage strength of full DeGrom, right? If it's 90% full DeGrom for 25 starts and 160 innings, well, I'll take that over 100% DeGrom, you know, for 18 starts and whatever, 120 innings. So I'm not terribly worried about it, but I definitely do sense that there is a difference in the way hitters react.
Okay, we have some feedback here, Dave. Berger hits a whopper to right field.
Oh.
How does that sound?
Okay, again, well, there's solid potential there.
Jake.
I need to put that in my little book.
Jake Mashburger.
Well, mash is solid.
Interesting.
Jocko Tacos need to be a potential thing.
Jocko Tacos, okay.
Maybe a Tuesday special. Just mix it in.
Oppo, you know, the Oppo, Jocko, Oppo, the yeah. Oppo, Jocko, yeah. Something plays. Like that. I think that yeah. could play. And then I am curious, Dave, did you get to try, because Jared didn't try any of the new concession items. Did you actually get a chance to try some of those?
I missed the whole thing.
Unbelievable.
I missed the whole show. Yeah. And that's on me, right? It's one of those, you go home at night, you look yourself in the mirror and say, well, why the hell weren't you there?
Just
and
disgusted.
I wasn't.
And, such a shame.
I'm up for it. You know, it's one of those things. It's spring training for everybody, though, so we'll get it right.
You'll play your way into shape.
Yeah, we'll get there. Do you have that's a favorite thing about opening day, Dave? Is there like a favorite moment that you really just really enjoys at the beginning of the game or any part of the pageantry?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely the beginning of the game. You know, the flyover, the anthem, when you've got a full house and everybody's really into it, that gives me the old goosebumps. And then usually I would say, if you know, you've always got your most dynamic guy on the mound. And right now, the Rangers with a great pitching staff, you've got a guy out there who can generate a little of that electricity. I would say the scoreless top of the first, with especially if it's punctuated with a strikeout or something like that. Like you'd see Evo punching somebody out, and you know, the crowd's going to react, and they're going to well up, and you know, now it's anticipating Semien and Seager coming to the plate. That moment is usually for me one of the best of the year. You know, you get that big out, crowd swells. Now we got our shot coming, and Katie bar the door. Let's see what happens.
Live it up, Dave. Let's go have a hell of a season, man.
That's right, buddy. Off day tomorrow, and then we just, you know, we just sit down and we stare in the face 200 straight days of America's pastime.
You enjoy it.
There he goes.
The grind is real, baby. Let's go, Dave.
You're the man.
All right, see you, fellas.
Go get some tequila, bro.
Dave Raymond with you here on 105 through the Fan, obviously listening last hour. I mean, hey.
Dave's always listening.
On that point, baseball is amazing, right? It is America's pastime, and it's incredible as a fan to go home and put it on while you're making dinner and living it up. I think if you're working it, that's got to be the most difficult sport to get through, isn't it? I mean, an NFL season, 4 months can start to feel like, wow, you know, we're grinding our way through this thing. We're getting the job done. Basketball season, I did the post game show for the Trailblazers for like 5 or 6 seasons. That's 82 games over the same period of time. So you have half as many games. It feels like a grind.
Yeah, I mean, for Jared, he was just in Surprise, Arizona for majority of February. And so, I mean, he's looking at 8 months, and if there's no postseason.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
They this isn't a postseason started. Damn team if I've ever seen one.
Okay. We are going to hit the LA Live here in just a second, a GD version of LA Live. Anthony Davis, though, tonight preparing to play back-to-back games for the Mavs for the first time. As he did it last night, went 26 minutes and, you know, had 12 points on
more
6 of 9 shooting.
Think?
I don't know. I listened to Jason Kidd last night, said 28 was the cap.
Yeah.
I would imagine on back-to-back, I'm not raising it. Unless he's insisting on it and saying he's feeling great, but they'll visit the Knicks here coming up 6:30.
What do you think about the chances against the Knicks tonight, too?
I got to feel like they're good. I feel like I'm more optimistic about this team than others, and I know New York's third in the East right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I like this team. So what are good chances on the road on the second of a back-to-back? I don't know, 25 or 30% chance of winning
this game.
Yeah, at
least in the same city, Brooklyn, and then you didn't have to change hotels or anything like that.
Luka Doncic says it's on him and LeBron to recharge the Lakers. LeBron's been back 2 games. They got rolled up again. They've lost 7 of their last 10. And their average margin of defeat in these games is 15.7.
So they're not just losing. They are getting smoked. I know a lot of people maybe want to see the Lakers do well and Luka do well. I'm on the side that's always going to hate the Lakers. Mm. I will like some of their players, but once they put on that purple and gold there. But anyway, a top six spot is not guaranteed. Seeing the Lakers in the play-in, that might be in the cards right now. You know, who knows what these final 10 or 11 games have in store.
That'd but Lakers,
it kind of right? seems like that here lately, actually the Suns are playing a little bit better.
A little bit.
And the Kings are the ones that are kind of falling apart.
Yeah. Slippage.
So you wonder if there's going to be a flip-flop there. You know, maybe the Kings are going to be the ones that fall by the wayside here.
All those teams in that mix just suck.
Check this out. The Lakers have 7 of their 11 games on the road, and there's 3 sets of back-to-backs waiting for them. So that's going to be some rough sledding there for the Lakers coming on down the stretch. That would just be too good to be true. If the Mavs and Lakers could meet in any capacity in the postseason.
It's almost like the NBA has a script. My gosh.
It's unfortunate that they have the play-in, because if they didn't, we wouldn't even be talking about any of this. But the fact that the Mavs can get into the play-in, we still have to act like we're trying.
All right, on a Toxic Tuesday, it's time to go into the Pimp Cup where Ross Lebinski can hit the intro. That is right. It's time for LA Live with GD.
Well, all right, you squares.
Fight up this funk.
That's right. I am Gavin Dawson in for Lucius on a Toxic Tuesday LA Live.
Who are you?
I'm GD. Did I say I'm Lucius?
No,
you didn't. Said you're Gavin Dawson.
Don't okay, that's right. Off sides like that. You get in your zone, all right?
Yeah.
Brian, I'm already struggling going into this thing, trying to create some LA Live magic.
I'm going to ask you questions here in a second. And just ignore him.
Well, we're having some pretty dang toxic vibes coming in from Broadus today.
It is Tuesday.
No, I'm good.
So it's very fitting.
I'm totally good.
I'm pretty irritable right now, I'll tell you that.
Why?
Go watch yourself.
As we do in every LA Live, we replay the G-Bag of the Day for you. The G-Bag of the Day every afternoon at 2:30 is the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. Takes on a number of challengers every day at 2:30. Its goal is to become a 5-time champ, become immortalized, and eligible for the G-Bag of the Year. Ross, who's our current champ?
Our current champ is y'all talking about the burrito from yesterday.
That's right.
Oh.
Boomstick burrito looks pretty impressive, though. I'd like to take that down. I think we're going to get a chance on Thursday, opening day, to take that down. So I don't know. I mean, how many inches do you think you could take of that, Chief?
Well, I mean, I did it in 3 hours' time. I did the 2-foot boomstick burger. I guess it was a couple of years ago now. So if you give me a couple, 2 or 3 hours, I think I could put the whole thing down. But in one sitting, I feel good about the first 12 inches.
Who do you think can take down the most inches of the station?
I mean, I don't want to be braggadocious or whatever, but I think I'm leading the charge on that. I'm certainly the favorite.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Walsh could be up there.
That's a 3.5-pound thing, right, Jared? Is that what we're looking at?
It is 3.5 pounds.
Yeah, I was told 3.5 pounds. How bizarre is that? My goodness.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I would do that like a breakfast burrito. That would be really appealing to me. You give me 24 inches of bacon, sausage, egg, cheese, hash brown, maybe throw a little salsa on there.
Yes.
I would take that bad boy down.
There it is, the G-Bag of the Day. Champ with Jared Sandler. Sounds about right to me.
I believe him when he says it.
All right. What else do I have for you boys here? I know you guys do like talking about food. It's a good
segue.
We
love food.
Let's get some comfort food chatter in here. Have you seen the secret to success at Kentucky?
Yes.
Okay.
We actually have the sound of the press conference.
All right.
When Mark Pope was trying to get in the mix on that.
Let's go to Coach Mark Pope at the podium with a couple of his guys.
That's actually not the real answer. Come on, bring it.
What you mean?
The Weetabix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a Weetabix this morning.
Tell the whole story, please. I mean, Amari Williams, guys, is 10 rebounds, 8 points, 6 assists, 1 turnover, 3 blocks. Okay, incredible energy on the floor. Go ahead, we're working on an NIL deal right now.
So on Friday I had 4 pieces of toast for breakfast, and they thought that wasn't enough. So yesterday?
I was like, Amari, what do you usually eat?
Yeah, he asked me what I usually eat growing up, and I had something called Weetabix, which is from England. And
if you've had Weetabix, will you please raise your hand? Keep going.
So it's like shredded wheat and me saying this is crazy because my parents always forced me to eat it growing up. So Will Barton did a good job of, you know, finding an international store out here in Milwaukee, and he got me Weetabix. I had about three of them this morning. Coach Pope joined me too, and Brandon Garrison. And yeah, I feel like that helped my performance today for sure.
Does not sound good at all.
We will have.
Does not sound like a good modern cereal, this chock full of corn syrup, this Weetabix.
Weetabix.
Yeah.
Weetabix.
Apparently, Weetabix. It's a popular cereal in England. Huh. It was even being carried at one grocer in Lexington, but the store, the team went and bought them all up because it's become a thing now there inside the team where they want to be eating this Weetabix. I guess it's kind of like eating your Wheaties. You know, it's England's version of the championship cereal, the Breakfast of Champions.
Yeah, dude, I definitely never heard of this cereal, but I do love that the Kentucky, I guess, like Kentucky fans. I mean, Weetabix.
Yes, they're buying it up like crazy. It's number six on the Amazon.
Yes,
trending cereals.
Yes,
now.
Dude. Yeah. So they're going out in full force, and I
guarantee Will Chambers has a box on the way.
Oh, he absolutely has ordered
for
it.
For sure. He's probably eating some right now as we speak, but that will be eaten across Kentucky Nation they tip off.
Yeah, they're going to get their Weetabix and their Mountain Dew and Jack Daniels cocktails.
How's it spelled again, Dawson?
Lock in Weetabix, Weetabix.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah, check it out. He described it as shredded wheat. I was instantly out. I think I tried to eat that once when I was like 9 years old. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all for eating healthy, but we can do better than this.
We're going to need some strawberries and some blueberries in here. Maybe
some
cane sugar.
Yes, cane sugar went heavy on that on
Green
all cereals.
Breakfast biscuit.
It is. Okay. Probably delicious.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of food, guys, new item at the Mets game. A hot dang bucket of 20 fresh out of the oven chocolate chip cookies. Have you seen this on Twitter?
Yeah, and I saw this one, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't a ball sack.
Are we getting ball sacked here?
The Mets last week with 20 the dozen hot dogs.
Yeah, 12 hot dogs.
So, but this one is actually real.
This one's
real.
I saw the gold check mark.
Dude, the
figured
Mets,
I was good.
The Mets are doing it right with some of their food. I mean, this sounds delicious, some of the stuff that they've got on their menu. And they're bringing in chefs like Adam Richman, you know, the originator of Man vs. Food.
Man vs. Food.
He's got a Fiesta Burger and Pub Burger that they're going to be serving there as well. So what the Mets have going, they might have the best food in the game in terms of some of their culinary creations.
Makes
outside
sense.
Of course, the ballpark here.
The Globe does a heck of a job, and I tagged the Rangers in this, and I said, hey, let's get it going here. I would do that. You know, I would a bucket of 20 chocolate chip cookies. They don't look like they're maybe the biggest chocolate chip cookies, and I don't know the quality of them or the price.
Yeah, I wonder if they're soft.
Yeah.
Or if they're like the crunchy ones.
It's hard to say. You know,
it's hard.
In the picture that I saw on Twitter, there was one like sitting up on an angle, like diagonally stuck down to the other ones. I think if you're not flopping over.
Yeah, it's not soft.
I don't know how good you are.
No.
I'll be honest with you. I know it's weird to be at a ballpark, especially if you're outside or whatever, but I mean, I want some milk with this.
Absolutely. Yeah, maybe some vanilla ice cream.
Where are you getting, I don't know how much milk is being served up at ballparks, but if you're going to do a big bucket of cookies, let's go ahead and have some good old-fashioned whole milk out of a jar here, please, too.
I would hope so. I would hope that's, you know, available at the same concession stand the 20 chocolate chip cookies are.
Brian is looking at me like he's never heard of the idea
of
milk and cookies.
At a ball game.
Yeah, they don't serve milk.
If it's not hot out,
and
it works.
I feel like I did sort of clarify that.
All right. Okay. We got some news here in the NFL world.
Russell Wilson hit it.
Yeah. He's going to the Giants. 1 year deal, $21 million, including $10.5 million guaranteed. So the Giants have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. I'm a little bit bummed. I wanted to see Jameis Winston be the starter there, but that's okay. This is equally going to be entertaining. One guy who's very unlikable in Russ and one guy who's very likable in Jameis. But now Aaron Rodgers, clearly, it's the Steelers for you, dude, unless he just wants to wait it out and not sign anywhere until post draft or maybe an injury happens.
Then Shador's desire to go to the Giants, does that kind of squash that at least at three?
Maybe. I mean, I don't think a 1 year deal with a quarterback does that if you value Shador Sanders, but I'm telling you, Cleveland's going to take him. I believe Cleveland is not letting one of those quarterbacks go past them at two.
It is puzzling the Giants would load up at quarterback there. Is it dysfunctional? Is it what the Falcons did last year? I can't imagine them getting those two and then planning to draft one. I think they're out. I think they're thinking about Arch Manning sweepstakes or what's going to happen in 26-27. All right, it's GD Live
might be thinking about Hunter there, too.
Yeah.
Might be the one that
Travis Hunter in New York would make a lot of sense. That's a lot of money for us.
Pair Hunter with neighbors there. That would
be dangerous.
Would be. That'd be a filthy pairing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Abdul Carter as well, though, doesn't that?
Hey, that's a team that Kayvon Thibodeau has said he might leave in free agency.
Well, he's been a huge disappointment for them.
Yeah, from what we thought is like arguably a best player in the draft, he hasn't lived up to those expectations. Injuries have certainly gotten him as well. Yeah. And turnover at defensive coaching, I wonder how much that's played a factor. But Abdul Carter would fit the bill for the Giants. You do think of good pass rushers in New York.
Very nice. Well, Chuck, little breaking news. Again, Russell Wilson going to the Giants here as we're in the midst of GD Live here. Lucius on vacation the next 2 weeks. Send him some love on social. Let him know he's missed. Every good LA Live should have some good relationship discussion. So we go to longtime ESPN reporter Jamil Hill. Oh. She says she would cancel dates with guys if they brought up Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless in their early texting, right? You're swiping, you got a match, you start texting. If they start asking about Stephen A. or Skip, she just canceled the date, saying, like, do you want to be on a date with Stephen A.? Because this is doing nothing for me. Whatever arousal point I had in this conversation just immediately went negative, gentlemen. Is there anything that a prospective date could say that would make you cancel the date about your job?
That they're an Eagles fan.
Might have to go there.
I'm just not going to.
That's an immediate Dunsky.
I'm good. And that ended up happening a couple of times.
Really?
Philadelphia
running
sports
into Eagles fans here?
Like or their family was from Philadelphia. So, like, yeah, my parents are Eagles fans. I'm like, there's plenty of fish in the sea. I'm good here. I'm going to punt on this one.
That's the right call right there. This is so funny, though. They're barely even, they haven't even maybe gone on a date yet, and they're already teeing up questions about. Yeah. Yeah. Stephen A. and maybe Kellerman or something. These guys, that's all they're in it for. They just want to get as close to the Stephen A. takes as possible. I can understand why she'd be a little bit annoyed by that, but it's hilarious.
There are a lot of older gals that just they've been on all the rides and seen all the circus, and they're over it. You know, they can see a failed relationship coming a mile away, and they got a quick trigger. You know, They're like, nope.
Okay, in the hypothetical world that you were going to be dating Jamel Hill, how many dates in before you start
asking about work?
About Stephen A. Smith, right? Work? Like, it's not going to be that long. You can't do it in the midst of your like initial messaging interactions before you've actually gone on the date. And maybe date one, if you can help yourself, you just leave it alone. Let her tell you. Well, but by date two, I'm gonna start asking about Stephen A.
I think that's a good point, you know, and a good question. After I've heard this news, now I might not ever ask if I was that interested in Jamil Hill. Right?
At this point,
I would
yes.
just slow play it forever.
Sure.
But I think if I'm flying in blind, that might be one of the first things I'm asking.
How's
your time at ESPN?
How was work today?
I mean, we're just trying to make small chat at that point. I don't know. I don't know how that whole song and dance goes. Chief.
No, I don't either. I mean, that's what makes it's one of those unique deals with her. That's why this story is funny, because it's so unique to her.
But when you let her bring it up, I think I would do it in a way like I'd want her to say, like, you know, you've never asked me about any of these.
Wow, you're gonna play the real long game on this.
I'm gonna play the real
months
long,
of dating.
Yeah,
without
I'm gonna
getting
go,
any
I'm
Stephen
gonna play
A.
the
scoops.
Real long game here, and I'm gonna make her think I really don't like sports.
There you go.
Just totally ballsacker because you're a football guy through and through.
Football guy through and through, and hope that she doesn't know anything about me, kind of a thing. But I would absolutely not want to talk about any, and I would see, like, I'd make her bring it up.
Yeah.
Like, listen, do you not know what I did for a living, kind of a thing? Yeah. And I'm like, no, what did you do?
There you go.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be a fun bit to play out.
Make her talk about herself and, like,
I think a lot of people in this business want to go home and, like, leave it, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And especially she's been in the business for so long, it's probably exhausting to keep talking about Stephen A. and Skip. We need some cannabis-related news here in GD Live. Check this out. This is pretty relevant, I'm sure, for a lot of our audience. Bill banning THC has passed in the Texas Senate, has a lot of support. This is your Delta 8s and 9s and all the different forms of intoxicating THC. Basically what happened, if you don't know, scientists figured out how to take the THC out of hemp, which is legal to grow, And then they just pack a ton of it into these different products, and it kind of behaves almost exactly like regular weed.
Hmm.
So there's been a loophole around it here in the great state of Texas, I feel like, for a number of years. But Governor Dan Patrick calls it a threat to the children and communities of Texas. And he and other guys are trying to push it out. And the story that I read on CBS DFW, there was a number of like veterans and business owners who were like, Texans don't want this. Please, you know, let us have our loophole weed. I don't even know what you call this, but.
Or loophole weed.
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of your legal weed, basically, is the takeaway on that story right there. Heading down the legislative pathways.
Man, that's gonna be painful to a lot of those smoke shops that are just cleaning up on that right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a hot commodity.
I think that's become, like, a huge part of their business.
They got Mad Dog Russo on ESPN First Take talking about his Delta gummy extravaganzas.
Yeah, yeah.
Half
so
now, half later.
I feel like a lot of them have popped up as a result of the Delta. Like, now they're hot on every other corner, like you're in a legal state,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, how popular those products are. So, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a smoke and vapes at, like, every corner.
Maybe they just need to have the legislative skids greased a little bit, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, get them skidded.
None are better than CBD American Shaman and McKinney, though. That's for damn
sure. That is
good,
right.
Sure, buddy Eric.
Goated. Totally goated. Woolchuck, a proper round tripper coming up.
Yeah, we got some predictions for the upcoming season. That's next in the nation.